Mark your books at number 912, and we'll sing that song following the last this morning. So we have some company with us from Bostonia. They're filling up a pew. So I have brother and sister Turner and Josh and Jessica and the boys. So welcome, welcome. Good to see you. All right, there is an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along, ask my brethren to look around, and if you see someone that didn't receive a bulletin, please share. You're very welcome to go get one from the foyer if you would like. The title of the lesson this morning is on resources for faithfulness. I titled it Ready Resources for Faithfulness. It is possible, as you know, to be a faithful Christian. That's a possibility. But however, somebody you might want to ask, is there anything that can be done to strengthen that possibility? To give it encouragement? Is there any resource that will help me in maintaining that faithfulness? And that's what our lesson is this morning. The answer is yes. God has provided us with resources to encourage us in faithfulness. I've listed four of them in your notes this morning. There are obviously more, but just wanted to highlight these four for our lesson. These four are four ways to maintain our faithfulness in Christian living. Number one, let God say something to you every day. You can see these four. Number two, simply say something to God every day. Then number three, you say something for God every day. And then the last one is do something for God every day. But number one, let God say something to you every day. Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. You want your faith strengthened, you need to listen to what God says. Your faith comes from hearing the word of God. Studying God's word is a means by which we may remain faithful. The word of God has the capacity to strengthen our faith and to maintain our faith, and that's our lesson. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning of verse 9, Paul says, "In this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and spiritual understanding." Paul says, "I want to pray for the brethren there in Colossae. I want to pray that your love may abound more and more, but in knowledge." I would say, "Well, I love God." Well, no doubt about that. We say our hands goes up. Can't doubt my love for God, but Paul says, I want that to abound more and more in knowledge. In knowledge. In Psalm 119, in the text that was read to us this morning, it extols the strengthening virtue of God's word. Now here's a sample. I've listed several in your notes, but I have a few more in my notes. All of these are from Psalm 119. Verse 9. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to thy word. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verse 19. All of these are in Psalm 119. Verse 19, I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Verse 27, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Verse 44, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. Verse 54, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. my meditation all the day. Verse 101. I've refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Verse 127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore does my soul keep them. Verse 175. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Is there strength in God's word? Oh, yeah. Sure is. Let God say something to you every day. Just by observation, did you notice the seven different words that are used to describe God's word? As I was reading those, they're in your notes. God's word, his commandments, precepts, testimonies, law, statutes, and judgments. Seven different words used to describe God's word. Let God say something to you every day. I mentioned, you notice Jesus met every temptation with the phrase, oh, it's written. Knowledge of God's word. Jesus' persistent use and knowledge of Scripture helped him to send the devil packing, to send him away. Yeah, I know we had the excuse, I'm too busy. You say, I can't read God's word every day. And I want to say, really? Think about how much time you let the world speak to you. There might be a radio or television. You let the world speak to you, perhaps through a newspaper or a magazine or a computer or a tablet. Think about how much time you let the world speak to you. You see, we find time to do those things that are most precious to us. So therefore, I want you to see God's word as precious. And find time to use it. Find time to have God say something to you every day through the reading of his word. In Luke 11, verse 28, it says, blessed are they that hear the word of God. You want a blessing? Hear God's word. In Revelation 1, verse 3, blessed is he that reads. You want a blessing? Blessed is he that reads. And they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. You want to strengthen your faith or maintain faith, there's ready resources. And one of them is to let God say something to you every day. Number two, obviously we're going to take it the reverse. Say something to God every day. And obviously that's prayer, isn't it? Say something to God every day. Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus begins a parable with the words, we ought always to pray. And then the added phrase, and not faint. Hope you never get tired of praying. Don't faint. Meaning, don't be remiss in your duty. Don't be slothful. Don't get weary of praying. Don't lose heart. You know, one purpose of prayer in this text is to eliminate the possibility of losing faith or weakening faith, losing heart. So one purpose of prayer is to, in saying something to God every day, will help strengthen our faith. So God says something to us, and we say something to God. I heard someone say it's hard to do wrong when you're praying to do right. Paul admonished, I gave this example in your notes, to be strong in the Lord. All right, how do I be strong in the Lord? Paul answers that. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. And he concludes that armor of God in verses 17 and 18 of Ephesians chapter 6, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So let God say something to you. And then he says, praying always. Oh, say something to God. You can get courage to stand on your feet when you first go on your knees. Put these in, just put references in your notes. The example of Jesus' prayer life. Jesus' prayer life. In Luke 3:21, Jesus prayed at his baptism. And in Luke 11, verse 1, when he ceased praying, the disciples asked him to teach them to pray. In Mark 6, verse 41, he prays before handing out the loaves and fishes to over 5,000 people. In Luke 6, verse 12, he spends all night in prayer before he calls the 12 apostles. In Luke 9:28, he went up to the mountain to pray. And on that mountaintop, he was transfigured with his face. Luke 17, 26 verses record the prayer of Jesus. 26 verses. You have an actual prayer. Jesus, what did you pray? And it's a lengthy prayer for his disciples. For his disciples that were with him then and for us today. Call that the Lord's Prayer. Some people say, oh, the Lord's Prayer is that model prayer, instructional prayer, but why single out that one? Here's 26 verses of Jesus praying. That's the Lord's Prayer. In 2 verse 19, he offers thanks for the bread and the cup at the Last Supper. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark chapter 14, verse 26, and he tells his disciples, sit here while I pray. Well, there's the Lord's Prayer too. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Well, that's the Lord's Prayer. And then he's on the cross in Luke 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them. Oh, that's the Lord's Prayer. Oh. Why single out just one of Jesus' prayer and call it the Lord's Prayer? Jesus prayed many, many times. By the way, the Bible does not call that instructional prayer the Lord's Prayer. That's been added by men as a title in your Bibles. The Bible nowhere calls that prayer that Jesus instructed his disciples as the Lord's Prayer. Jesus prayed many, many times. Prayer is a powerful source to keep ourselves faithful. Jesus is the example. So say something to God every day. Number three in your notes is to say something for God every day. In two ways. By your manner of life and your speech. Two ways. So number one is you say something for God by your manner of life. And Paul described it this way. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 2. You are our epistle or our letter of commendation. Known and read of all men. We preach a lesson by the way we live. Paul said in Philippians 1 verse 27, let your conduct be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. Oh, by the way we live. And Jesus said it in Matthew 5 verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Oh, by manner of life. We can say something for God every day, just by the way that we live. In other words, we walk our talk. We practice what we preach. And by doing that, we say something for God every day. So the way in which we live and the places we go tells others on whose side we stand. By the way that we live and the places we go, let others know to whom we belong. We preach a lesson. We say something for God by the way that we live. And also, we say something for God really by our speech, too. For example, Peter and John In Acts 4, verse 29, the magistrates brought them in because they were preaching. And Peter and John said, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings." Yeah. "And would you grant unto your servants the boldness that we may speak thy word?" Give us the ability, God, to say something for you. Romans 1:16, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I'm not ashamed of that. It's the power of God unto salvation. Say, "Oh, Brian, I'm not a preacher." And you don't have to be. By putting your notes, by way of illustration or example, tomorrow morning, when people, if you're going to work, but when people at work ask you, "What'd you do over the weekend?" And they typically will, because I remember that. Go into the office or you go on the job, and "What'd you do over the weekend?" And you'll list everything, and many times you'll never mention, "Oh, I attended worship assembly yesterday morning." Why don't you add that to the list of everything you did over the weekend? Just those simple phrases, that phrase, you just said something for God. "I attended worship assembly yesterday morning." And you know what they're going to say? "Oh, where do you attend?" Now you have an opportunity to say something for God. Even in casual living or daily life, when something good happens and you're sharing it with others, you can say, "You know, God has blessed me." You haven't stood up and preached a lesson. But you say something for God. Anytime you say, "Oh, and yesterday morning I attended a worship assembly." You say something for God every time you say something to somebody else. "I'm so blessed by God." And people will know. You just said something for God. The last one, number four, is do something for God every day. Do something. Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 22, "Be ye doers of the word." Ah, that's right. God says something to us. Well, I want to do it. I want to do something for God according to his word. And James continues, "And don't be hearers only." Don't delude your own selves. And so he said, "Well, what do I need to do? What can I do?" In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9, there's an interesting phrase. One of my favorites. Hebrew writer said, "Beloved," that's us, said, "we're persuaded better things of you." And here's the phrase, "and things that accompany salvation." What things are those that accompany our salvation? It says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you've shown toward his name." Do something for God. "In that," and here it is, "you've ministered to the saints." And do minister. You ever ask a brother or sister sitting beside you, "What do you need? What can I do for you? How can I help you?" The Hebrew writer continues, "We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." The scripture that was mentioned in our Bible class this morning in Galatians 6, verse 9, verse says, "Don't be weary in well-doing." Don't get tired of doing good for God. "Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap," oh yeah, "if we faint not. As we have opportunity, let's do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith." You want your faith strengthened, maintained? Let God say something for you every day. Read his word. Say something to God every day. "God, I need you again today." And then say something for God every day. "You know what I did over the weekend? Oh yeah, I saw this show or saw this sporting event, and I went to worship assembly yesterday morning." "Oh really?" People will remember that. Not that you saw something on television, or went to a family reunion, but I went to a worship assembly yesterday morning. Where did that come from? Most people don't include that in their list of events that they attended over the weekend. I went to a worship assembly yesterday morning. And then do something for God every day. Do something for God. What do you need? How can I help you? Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, patience, song of exhortation. It's a message of salvation. It's included in the words of Jesus before he ascended back to the Father. Matthew records 28, the closing verses, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Records it in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that doesn't believe will be condemned." So that's an invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. If you're subject to it, if you're not obeying those commands already, you have that opportunity. So we sing this song of encouragement, this song of exhortation, this song of invitation. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Come unto me, all ye that labor, and learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come me," he said. So let's stand together. We'll sing encouragement. If that's your desire to be baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that this morning. If you want encouragement, we can do that. So let's sing this song together. And if you need to respond in a public way, just let it be known at the close of this song.